welcome to the Emmaus Bible Hour. This is a program for the family with an emphasis on finding out what God has to say to us through His Word, the Bible. Imagine yourself at a youth conference. It is question time, and a panel of authorities are seated at the front of the auditorium. Very often, questions that run something like this appear. Is it wrong to do this? What's wrong with doing that? I'm sure many of you have attended question times like that. Maybe you've even put questions like that into the box. It just reminds us that many people have real questions about Christian conduct. And that's exactly what our subject is for this study. We've been looking at the correspondence course from the Emmaus Bible School titled Lessons for Christian Living. And by the way, at the end of the program, we'll be giving you information on how you can receive this full set of lessons in book form. Now, Lesson 5, Christian Conduct. How can a Christian know what he may or may not do? Is it right for a believer to go to dances or to the theater, to play cards, to smoke, to drink, or to participate in other worldly amusements? Many young believers are troubled by questions similar to these. They find that certain practices are clearly condemned in the Bible. However, there are many others which are not mentioned. It is the purpose of this lesson to provide you with a series of standards which may help you decide whether or not you should engage in a questionable activity. Remember, these are guidelines for believers, for born-again ones. First question, and you may want to write these down. Is it distinctly forbidden by the Lord for believers today? If it is, avoid it as you would a deadly plague. If you don't know, don't do it until you have a chance to find out. 1 Thessalonians 5:22 is a good verse on this subject. That's the first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 5, and verse 22. Abstain from all appearance of evil. The second question to ask yourself is this. Is there any glory for God in it? In 1 Corinthians 10:31, we read this plain statement. That reference is 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and the 31st verse. Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So before you engage in the activity in question, can you honestly ask for God's blessing upon it, believing that He will be honored through your participation? A third consideration, is it of the world system? Someone has said the world is like an ocean. In the world, we are boats. A boat is useful only in the water. If the water is in the boat, it will sink beneath the waves. Therefore, bail out the water. So ask yourself the question, is this questionable practice of the world? If it is, then it is not of Christ. He said concerning his disciples, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." He, the Lord Jesus Christ, was not of the world at all. He was in it, but He was not of it. Let's pause now for some music. Think about those three questions in regard to some doubtful matter that may be troubling you. Is it forbidden by the Lord in His Word? Is there any glory for God in it? And is it of the world? listening to the Emmaus Bible Hour. We're on Lesson 5 of the course titled Lessons for Christian Living. In case you missed some of the other broadcasts, we'd like you to know that this entire course is available to you in book form, actually in paperback edition. Listen for our closing announcement for details. Now continuing Lesson 5 and page 2 of that lesson, we're considering some guidelines for Christian conduct. The fourth question to ask yourself, would the Lord Jesus have done it? Notice what the Apostle Peter wrote in his first letter, chapter 2, and verse 21. At 1 Peter 2:21, "For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps." It's very clear we are to follow in his steps. He left us an example. One word of caution. We are not saved by walking in his steps. We couldn't if we tried. But after we are born again, he gives us special help to follow him. The fifth one. Would you like to be found doing this activity when the Lord returns? Someone has wisely remarked, don't do anything, say anything, or go anywhere that would cause you shame if the Lord should come. We're considering questions that we should ask ourselves in determining Christian conduct. Number 6. Can you feel free to do this when you remember that God, the Holy Spirit, dwells within you? Let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. That's the first letter to the Corinthians, the 6th chapter, the 19th verse. Here the apostle reminded them, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own?" The next question. Is it fitting conduct for a child of God? When a king's son acts in an unworthy manner, he brings disgrace on his father's name. So does the Christian when he behaves in an unbecoming way. Paul wrote to the Colossians, "We have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects." The eighth consideration, what effect will your conduct have on others? Will it be a good testimony to the unsaved, or will they decide that there is really no difference between a Christian and an unbeliever? Also, will it cause someone who is young in the faith to stumble? This is a very important matter. The Apostle Paul warned that no man should put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. We're coming to the closing questions in this series on Christian conduct. The ninth one, is there any doubt in your mind about it? If so, then don't do it. The Bible says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. A tenth question you might ask yourself, if you haven't already settled the matter, could the time involved be better spent? We're told to redeem the time, or, as one translator puts it, making the most of your time. Often good activities can become the enemy of the best. We have just two more questions. Number 11, if expenditure of money is involved, could that money be better spent? We should use our money to the best possible advantage for the glory of God and for the blessing of others. Finally, and question 12, is it a weight? In Hebrews 12:1, we have good advice. That's the 12th chapter of Hebrews and the first verse of the chapter. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Many things may not be sinful, and yet they may be weights hindering us in our Christian race. Overemphasis on sports or hobbies could be included here. In regard to this subject of what a Christian may or may not do, it's well to remember that we are not under the law, but under grace. This does not mean that we may do as we like, but rather it means that we want to do what God likes because he has done so much for us. We do not avoid worldly pleasures and amusements because we have to, but because we want to. The reason we want to is because Christ died for us. Now our ambitions are to live in a manner that will please Him. God does not say if you keep away from sinful pleasures, you will be a Christian. But He does say, in effect, to the believer, you are a Christian. Now live in a way that is consistent with your high calling. It is possible that a Christian may forget his dignified position and go in for the things of the world. In such a case, God will bring him back by loving correction. God will do this like a shepherd brings back a wandering sheep by placing his crook around his neck. Thus, if God's grace is forgotten by the believer, he will be restored by God's government. Let me repeat that. If God's grace is forgotten by the believer, he will be restored by God's government. And so we close the book on Lesson 5, Christian Conduct. We hope this has been helpful. If you have questions, write to us. This is the Emmaus Bible Hour.